Blog Talk Radio.
Straight, no chasing, no additives, no preservatives, none of that, and y'all already know that. This is your favorite flavor, C-H-O-C-L-E-T, and you are tuned in to Everybody is a Star live on Tribe Family Channel. Listen, I want to thank y'all for rolling with us tonight, and as ever, get ready to get funked up, okay? Because check this out, my guest tonight is one of the many true school, not old school, not back, you know what I'm saying, true, T-R-U-E, school pioneers, who is from the Bay Area. He came up along side by side with Sly, Santana, and all of the soldiers who were laying the foundation for funk as we know it. His story is inspiring and motivating and will surprise many of you. And, of course, you know Funk 101 is now in session. So without furtheration, I bring to you none other than Mr. Leon Patillo. Welcome, Leon.
All right, Jacqueline. How you doing there, girl?
I'm doing good. I'm doing my part. I'm trying to keep that funk alive. And I know that you are doing well. I know that you are doing well. And
yes.
I know that we have to stick to an agenda tonight because you only have a certain amount of time. And I want to thank you so much for joining us and taking time out of your busy schedule. So just let me tell anybody who wants to call in that they better start calling in soon because we won't have Leon for very long tonight. Okay, so, you know, just so get ready, start punching those numbers. So, in the meantime, Leon, what we're going to do is we're going to start from the beginning because then we're going to work our way through so everybody will know exactly what's going on.
Okay.
I would say 100% of my listeners are funketeers, okay? They know all about the funk, okay? So that's
okay.
Why it is so important for you to be on this show tonight because you are a true legend and a true pioneer. And so so I love teaching, so they're getting ready to find out some stuff. So let's start from where you came from, where you hail from.
Oh, San Francisco, born and raised. Was a housekeeper, and my dad was a taxi cab driver. In fact, he got tired of working for whoever he was working with Friendly Cab Company, and he decided to start his own cab company. And so I think he kept the logo on the side, but he had his own little cab and was rolling it like that. And that's how I got all my music lessons and everything paid for. You know, Papa Artis was his name, which is a weird name for somebody that's going to be in music, for your dad's name to be Artis.
So, okay. What was the name of his cab company?
It was under Friendly Cab Company because he kept that logo, but he had his own cab. Yeah, and so in San Francisco. But man, that man worked. I tell you, just from sun up to sundown, he had another gentleman that would work in the evening and take over the cabs and roll it like that. But I've never seen one cab that could go for so long without a breakdown, and well, they must have had some magic juice in that engine. But anyway, every two or three weeks he would, you know, bring it in and change the oil and do all that sort of thing. But it was just fantastic growing up in San Francisco. I really enjoyed it. I had a grammar school teacher. She was the one that kind of spotted my gift. I had no idea what she was doing, but she'd come to class and she'd put down a little cardboard in front of me that had piano keys painted on it. So I wondered, you know, what am I supposed to do with this thing? And then she'd jump on the piano and start playing. And next thing I knew, my hands were doing the same thing her hands was doing. And from that, she was able to tell I had the talent.
Now, here's what I wanted to ask you next. Speaking of schools, I need you to shout your schools out because you know how listeners are. They want, you know, I got a bunch of them from up there in the Bay Area. So I had to have Greg Rico shout his schools out a couple weeks ago. So you got to shout yours out.
All right. Well, the first one where that teacher spotted my gift was Pacific Heights School. And it's what was called the Tenderloin at one time back in the day. And then I went from there to Andrew Jackson School. And then from there I went to Roosevelt Junior High. And then from there on out to the avenues to George Washington High School. And then from there I went to City College. And that's where I met O.J. Simpson. And O.J. loved my music so much until he said, man, when I get married, I want to have you come play at my wedding. So I actually, when him and Marguerite got married, I was the one that did the music for it. So, you know, that's kind of my history. I'm just so thankful that teacher spotted my gift because had she not.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about this teacher. Now, what was her name?
Her name is Miss Hughes.
Okay.
And Miss Hughes is no longer with us down here, but I'm sure she's up there. And she really had an eye for someone that, you know, had a special gift. And not only did she do that with me with the cardboard, but she did that with all the other kids in the class. And just different things, erector sets or drawing or painting. You know, she could tell if that child had a certain innate gift. And so she just spotted mine and called my mother. And when I got home, that was really funny because, you know, my mama said, well, your teacher called today. I said, oop, that can't be good.
But
she explained what talent was. I thought it was something I needed to put up under my arms or something. Talent, what is that? So anyway, but finally, you know, she explained it. My mom explained it and then it bought me a little piano. And next thing I know, I'm sitting in front of my window playing every day, trying to learn my scales and such. And so it just really turned out to be great for me. It was a great place to put all that energy that I had, you know, instead of getting in trouble and doing other things.
Which is extremely important. Now, how did the teacher know that keyboards were like your ministry? How did she know? Has she ever heard you play? Or
you know, she hadn't, but I think that just she had a certain intuition. And when she called my mother, she said, man, this is what I feel Leon needs to do. And so my mother just responded right away and got that piano. And I could tell that it was something because while I'm sitting at the front window in my house playing scales, the football is going past my window. And I'm not liking that
right.
at all. I'm going, oh, man, I got to play do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And here comes
right.
the football. But then after a while, those same kids that were out in front came in the house and heard me play. And they were just amazed. They said, I don't know how you do that, Leon. How can you? And so anyway, it was just, like I said, it was a gift. It was a God-given gift. And so I'm just thankful that it has, you know, now I'm way up in age, and that has been the thing that I have been living on all my life is music.
So now, while you were playing these scales, you were, of course, doing that technical stuff. But were you
yes.
able to play by ear?
Yes, I was. That's something that my teacher didn't like. I had a German teacher, and all
mm-hmm.
she wanted me to do is to play Chopin and Bach and Beethoven. That's what she was into, and so I couldn't even let her know that, you know, I had an ear to hear the music of that day. But a lot of times I'd go to a party, Chocolate, and it's just a funny thing. I'd be over in the corner playing the piano a little bit while the music of that day was playing, and they would just turn off the music. They'd turn the player off, and everybody would circle around the piano. Next thing I know, we're all singing and playing, you know, the songs of that day. So it just has been an interesting ride just to see how, you know, something can come from something so like that and then go out to something, as professional as it sprung out to be. So, like I said, I'm really thankful. I even tried, Patrice, I tried to take in college. My mama said you need to have another, you know, something else that you can do in case the music doesn't work. So
right.
I took accounting. And, man, my first day on the job, I said, this is not going to work. It was so quiet in the place. And, you know, it's like being in a library, you know. And anytime I hummed a little song or took my pencils and beat a beat out on the table, they would look at me, Mr. Patillo, could you please keep that down? So I said, it's not going to work, man. I can't hang here. So I didn't last there long. And the next thing I knew, believe it or not, that's right at the same time that Carlos Santana was calling to try to find out about, you know, me singing on maybe an album of his. So,
okay, so we're going to back up. We're not going to go too fast.
Back up.
All right. Back up just a little bit. Okay, so the teachers, you recognize your gift, and you can play by ear, which I'm very, because my mother forced me to take piano lessons, and I did not continue them because I could not play by ear. A lot of my friends straight out the church, they could, and it just, like, it frustrated me to no end. So it's like, you know what? Forget this. If I can't hear something and sit down and play it like my friends can, just forget it. I'm not doing it. So I refuse to waste my mother's money anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, the church is really what helped me. That was the very place where I think. If I'm going to look back at a point that really helped me to put things together professionally, I would say the church really helped, because I had another lady that was Teresa, I think was her first name. But anyway, she had me come over to the church, and she said, well, I heard you could play a little bit. I said, well, yeah, a little bit. And so she showed me some hymns and that, and she said, why don't you, you know, show me what you got? And so I sat down and I started, you know, I could sight read, so I sat down and started playing them. She said, man, that's good. She said, why don't you come and just take over on the fourth Sundays? I said, really? And so she just let me have the organ and the whole service for on the fourth Sundays. And then
what church was this? What church?
This is AME Zion, and it's up on Masonic Street. Right near Masonic and Golden Gate, right almost on that corner there. And so that's where I was there for a season, and like I said, it was just a beautiful experience. In fact, I said, it would be okay if I brought some more friends in and maybe they could sing with me on the fourth Sundays. And so before you know it, I had a whole choir. We must have had maybe 30 people in the choir. They're all kids. And fabulous, man. I would take the songs, and, you know, Amazing Grace didn't sound like the cathedral choir. We really twisted it up a little bit, and it gave it a little beat, and, you know, and anything else that we get our hands on from that day. But it was just a wonderful thing for us youth to, you know, express our love for God and to be able to, you know, get some harmonies together. That's really where I learned how to put voices together, was there. And
absolutely. Yeah. And that is where most of your artists, well, your black artists in particular, that's where they go to school. They go to school in church. They learn about music, harmonies, discipline, all that right there in that church choir. You know what I'm saying? Yep. And so that's very important today, you know, for youth to be involved in church for so many different reasons. But if you are interested in music and really want to know about the fundamentals, then you really need to be in church. You know what I'm saying? Because first of all, there's no other feeling that you get from music than the music that comes out of the church.
That's right.
You can play funk, R&B, rock, all that stuff, whatever you want to do, and you get a certain level of satisfaction from that. But when you are in church, playing church music and worshiping God, there's no other feeling you get. No other feeling you get. Okay.
Yeah, and it doesn't leave you. It stays. I mean, you really have. I mean, if you go into professional career as far as like trying to, you know, hit the stage and screen or whatever, it really carries with you. I think the producers and directors of music can tell when you've had some time in church, because there's something that never leaves you. There, that presence of God seems to come through in everything that you do. And in fact, when I had a little group called the VIPs for a while, and man, we just every weekend we were booked. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday we were booked doing someone's you know, sorority or club group or something along those lines. But I think that the thing that they felt, not only with the popular songs of that day, but they just felt that it was a very special group with a lot of feeling. And I think a lot of that was due to, you know, my time in church. So, yeah,
right.
That's a good foundation, very good foundation.
And I was going to ask you about that. I was going to ask you about, okay, so how did you transition into your career? And I do know that you did have a group called the VIPs. As a matter of fact, Louise Reyna, who, a.k.a. Tamale, who is a very, very, very good friend of mine. Her sister Gina sang
Gina,
with you guys
sure did.
For a minute, didn't she? Yeah.
She sure did,
so,
man. She really gave us some blend because we had, you know, one of the things that we wanted to do was to make our group diverse. And so we had black, we had white, and then when Raina came in, it just really made it, Gina made it, she brought in kind of a little Hispanic thing. And so, and she really had a great voice and a good-looking girl. So anytime we went anywhere, the group was renowned in the fact that we all came with really nice outfits. Raina was up, Gina was up front singing. I was singing. Neil was on guitar, and he was singing as well. His sister, Carol, who plays violin, she kind of joined me in the next group. But that was kind of like the core of the group, and boy, the people just really enjoyed it. And we smell good. So we show up at a place, I don't care if we had to take the equipment in, take it out, change clothes, we always smell good. That's what all the girls have said. They come up and say, ooh, you smell so good. I said,
well,
thank you so much.
You know, back in the day, everybody smelled like incense.
Incense or what's
yeah,
that other one?
Patchouli, what's that? Patchouli and Frank, you know, they all smell
yeah,
like.
Yeah.
And the men, but wait a minute, the men were wearing Kung Fu and a bunch of other stuff. But now, were the VIPs, was that your first?
That was the first group.
That was the first group.
Yeah, that was a jump off after I kind of transitioned out of the church. The pastor had it in his mind that we should sound more like the cathedral choir. And so we really had conflicts just in our conversation. I told him, we have the cathedral choir. This is a kind of a departure from that. This is something that the kids are doing to, you know, so they could identify with the Lord, you know. And
right.
But he just didn't see it that way. So anyway, he just asked me if I couldn't roll it like the cathedral choir, then, you know, I'd have to leave. So that's really what happened, and so I ended up putting a group together just to see, you know, if we could do some things out there in the secular scene. And so,
okay.
Like I said, the VIPs was the group that we had, and then we finally transitioned over to a group called Creation. And just before that, there was a little in between time there where I got a chance to meet Sly Stone.
Tell us about your whole connection with Sly.
Well, you know, I think back in those days you could just come knock on the door and just come up and see the DJs at work. You could, you know, look through the window and look at them and that sort of thing. And so I think I did that one day. I just came upstairs. I think it was KDIA or K-Soul, I can't remember which one. But anyway, he came up the stairs, and there he was, and he turned around and looked at me, and we just kind of, I don't know what it is, we just kind of got on together. It was just one of those things, man. We just kind of high-fived through the glasses. So when he got through, he said, hey, man, and I told him who I was. He said, oh, yeah, I heard about your group VIPs. I said, yeah. He said, look, we're going to start having something on Sunday afternoons where we're going to be auditioning bands. And he said, I'd love it if you'd come down and help out with those auditions. And I said, really? And so every Sunday around 3 or 3:30, we'd have like a battle of the bands and that sort of thing. And that's how we became friends. And then some lady wanted to record me, and so she said, if you record this song, I think I can get Sly to produce it. And like I told you last week when we were talking, the song was called Chocolates for Mary, which is a funny name, but they wanted me to do it. Sly produced it, and it did really well in Europe. For some reason, I don't know, in those days they were taking songs and kind of getting them started over there, like kind of like Donna Summer and various ones got started over there first and then came back here. But anyway, that's what happened. And it was just fantastic. I just thought Sly was one of the geniuses of our day, and he and I would be together all the time playing and doing that sort of thing. So when I started the next little phase of my group, I knew his brother, Freddie, was available to play guitar, so I got Freddie to come and play with us at some of the various gigs that we had around town. And again, man, when Freddie got on that guitar and when he started singing, have mercy, I had never heard anybody like that. He could hit those runs. He could go all the way up with his high voice and come down and be playing a guitar along with it. I was like,
and
this
dancing.
Is just amazing.
Don't let us not forget.
And dancing.
And doing steps. That's right.
Yes. So anyway, the long story short, I had Greg Rico actually playing drums for me. And so I think that's how he and Freddie met. And so, and Greg was he was just fabulous on drums, Greg was just fabulous on drums. So I just thought, man, that would be a good connection to, you know, for those two guys to get together. And they actually, from what I understand, started a little band too. And my cousin Ronnie played saxophone in that group. And then they disband, and next thing I know, Freddie's with his brother, and Greg is on drums, and they just shot through the roof. I didn't even see it coming.
I heard that. So now Creation, Beyonce Creation, was doing gigs around town, and Greg and Freddie, they were playing with you from time to time, correct?
Yes. Yes, they were.
Okay.
And in fact, the Creation group finally, we signed with the same management as Sly had. And I guess our sounds were so similar, you know, because we were hanging out all the time. So, you know, I'm listening to him, he's listening to me. So a lot of our music really sounds similar. And so David Kapelik, who also was a manager for Peaches and Herb and for Johnny Mathis, those were his claim to fame. And then Sly was his next one, and he was working at CBS at the time. Actually, he quit CBS to actually go and manage the Sly Stone group. And so he took us, the Creation group, under his wing as well. So
okay.
It was just a great time. But Sly, you know, again, I think most of David's emphasis was more on Sly, and they were about the same age, and, you know, I think Sly's maybe 10 years older than me or something. But, you know, they just had it going on, and so they just jumped off. And we still continued doing gigs, but just not at the same level as Sly. But it was a fun time. My goodness.
Right.
We had a violinist.
And that's what I want to ask you about. That's what I want to ask you about. I hate to interrupt you, but I'm trying to I'm trying to squeeze every little bit of juice out of it. Now, what I want to know is during that time, that whole period of time, some people think that having like a multi-racial, multi-gender group like contrived, but I know this was before I got up to the Bay Area, because I didn't come up to the Bay Area until I got with Larry when he was still with Sly, and then he left us. Sly came join my group, which he was producing Grand Central Station. Okay.
Yes, that was fabulous.
Handle
it?
But before that time, just by somebody that grew up in San Francisco and grew up in the Bay Area, I mean, you know, it wasn't like it was not contrived. There was seemed like to be a very diverse environment, and musicians were just playing together regardless. So
we knew that it was different than any of the groups we were looking around at. But, I mean, there was a lady named Linda Tillery in the Bay Area, too, and she was just fronting, you know, a group. It was like she was the lead vocalist of the group, and, everybody was backing her. And it was different, but it didn't seem too strange that things like that were happening. And we just thought, man, this is the greatest variety that that the planet could get, because, you know, whatever race you come from, you got someone, you know, kind of up there representing. So, you know, it was, I thought it was a good time and a good kickoff for, again, just things like Ebony and Ivory, you know, just kind of how Stevie and Paul did that thing together. You just, you kind of just go do it, and you just know there's more to life than just one side of it. And but we know where the funk come from. But anyway.
Yeah, we know where the funk comes from.
We know where the funk comes from.
We know that. So
yeah,
at that period of time in the Bay Area, because it was something special happening in the Bay Area that was not happening anywhere else, and I guess one of the main elements of it was the fact that, you know, nobody was paying attention to what color somebody was. They were paying attention to whether or not they could throw down, you know, their musicianship was what counted, nothing else at that point. And evidently, the neighborhoods and stuff must have been very diverse. You guys must have all been going to school together and all that, you know?
Yeah, it was. It really was like that. And the only time I really felt a little snag was when I was trying to join up with a group of guys who were a little older than me. And, you know, it was kind of like a club, and they said, if you're going to join this club, then you got to go beat up your best friend. And I was like, oh, man, this is terrible. And I had a little chubby white boy that I just was real buzzed with named John. And, boy, and I had to go to John's house, and just because I wanted to join this club, and I didn't beat him up. All I did was just I punched him in the chest. You know, that was and that was good enough for the club. So, but it just, oh, it broke my heart. I mean, I can still see him now looking at me going, Leon, what are you doing? Why did you do that? Why did you hit me? You know,
right.
and then here I have to go back to school with John, and these guys that are older than me, they have gone on to the next school. So now here I'm stuck. I'm not even in the club, and then my best friend won't talk to me because he think I'm going to hit him every time I see him. So anyway, that part I didn't like. And I knew it inside, and I think that's today, you know, with bullying and all that's going on, that's why this new album that I have out now, I've got a song on about, you know, not bullying, and because I really know how that disturbs people that are really trying to have some kind of friendship. And sometimes you're just getting pushed by someone else that is, you know, that you admire, or somebody you're trying to impress. Yeah,
right.
And it really doesn't make any sense, but, you know, it's something stupid kids doing it. And before you know
that's
it,
right.
Yeah, me and John, we ended up being, after about maybe 6-8 months, you know, we ended up, you know, getting back together and being friends again. But anyway, I just identify so much with someone that something happens like that to them out of the blue. So that's why I wrote this song. I don't know if it's something that you'll play tonight, but it's a song that
I
think.
Well, I'm going to try. What song is that?
Yeah, it's called Rise Above the Bullying Jam is the name of it.
I didn't get that one.
Didn't
on
get
my
that
list
one. Okay.
That you submitted. Yeah,
yeah,
but
that's
what
all right.
I do want to do, though, I do want to start playing some music, and what I'm going to do is just so that people can understand the correlation between Leon's creation and Sly, I'm going to play your song. I think it was your first album, This Is the Beginning. Was that your first album?
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
that's
I'm
the
gonna
one.
I'm going to play This Is the Beginning, and then right after that, I'm going to play Dynamite by Sly.
Ooh.
So
okay.
That's going to give people Sly the Family Stone fans, for people who don't know, that's going to give them an idea of why you guys were like so similar, what you guys were doing was so similar.
Yeah.
So we're
going
to start out with This Is the Beginning. Do you have a little short intro you might want to?
I was, after we recorded this song, it's in the same studio that Sly, we all recorded in the same studio, and this was one of the ones that he suggested I go and record in. And when we did this song, again, we drove over to Berkeley, and actually there was I don't know if it was KDIA or K-Soul, I can't remember, but Bob Jones was on the air in those days, and so I just said, maybe if I take this song, This Is the Beginning, over to Bob, he may play it. And so I left the song there and said, you know, I didn't even see Bob, but I just told whoever, the secretary, I said, you know, get this to Bob and see if he'll play it. Before I even got in the car, the song was on the radio. And so it just became a big, it just became a big song in the Bay Area. We didn't get, you know, notoriety and getting national and international like Sly did. But anyway, they, a lot of people knew us for this particular song.
Okay, so here we go. We're gonna start out with "This Is the Beginning," and we're gonna go into "Dynamite" by Sly off of the second album, I think it was "Life." So, bam.
Mm.
see her twice.
And the thing about it is that the way I got hit to you was because I remember the very first time Larry put on the Leon's Creation album.
Yeah,
I heard it. I was like, I thought it was Sly. I'm like the number one Sly and a Family Stone fan in the whole wide world. So
yeah.
I thought this was an album that I somehow had missed. I'm like, I never
something.
Heard you guys do this. I said, where this at? When did y'all do this? And it was you. So Larry used to listen to you. And
isn't
so that's
that
how
something.
I got hip to you. And, of course, we spoke earlier about you coming up to the house and stuff.
Yes.
I just wanted, for those of y'all who don't know, as you listen to those songs, now you know. Those two songs and compare them, now you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so now.
That is
so
something.
After.
You did your homework.
So,
that's good.
Yeah, man. Shoot. I'm the poster, so I got to make sure I do it right. So now, after Leon's Creation, you went on to sing with, you joined Santana in 1973. I think you were with them until about 1979.
Right,
and
right.
I'm going to take a phone call right after you talk about this experience, too, from a 415 area code. So tell me, how did you end up with Santana?
Well, we actually, the Creation Group went down to L.A. to try do our thing. And so we took on another management company down there. And, again, it just didn't get off the ground quick enough. We all moved into, just about all of us, moved into one house and just tried to make it work. We did nightclubs. We did shows. We did whatever we could do to get things established. Couldn't get the type of record deal that we wanted to get. But right in the middle of that, I got a call, and I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but there's a guy that Carlos just ran into maybe about a month or so ago that used to be a part of this group named Marcus Malone. I don't know if you remember the news about that, but anyway, Marcus was a part of the Santana group in the early days, and something happened. He ended up going to jail, I think, for a couple of years, just as the group, as the Santana group was taking off. So when he got out, he called me and said, "Man, Santana done really, you know, jumped off, and you know, I want to do an album myself, and can you help me do this album?" And so I did the album with him, and he didn't have enough songs to really complete an album, so I added some of my own, and I sang on those songs. So Marcus took that CD or that album in that day up to Carlos Santana's house, and that's how Carlos found out about my voices and that kind of stuff. And so we were living in, you know, like I said, the group is in L.A., the Creation Group. So my management company got a phone call from Carlos saying, "Hey, you know, I've heard Leon sing. I'd like to have him come up and do an album with me." So I was like, "Yeah, sure, right." And then next thing I know, you know, I'm driving up from L.A. up to the Bay Area, and it, you know how the Bay Area is just so beautiful. Carlos in those days was living in Mill Valley, and so up way at the top of the hill. So I went across Golden Gate Bridge, and just one of those, I can almost describe it like a painting, because I was going across the bridge. It was just enough wind to blow a little bit of the waves out there, so you could see the caps of the waves. You could see these white little sailboats in the water, just picturesque. And then I get across to Mill Valley, go up this mountain, and I go up to this house. It looks just like a little castle stuck between clouds. It just was sitting there, you know, and I said, "This is
right,
house."
Right.
So I went in the house, and then Debbie, his wife at the time, actually answered the door. And I knew her from back in the day. I said, "Hey, Debbie, what you doing?" I thought maybe she's up there cleaning the house or something, you know. So I said, "You can't be." And so Carlos came up behind me and hugged me. And then she finally, I found out that's the wife. I said, "Oh,
well,
man,
let me say this.
Wife.
Let me say this. I knew Debbie as when I was married, Debbie was Sly's girlfriend."
Oh, get out.
Right.
Okay,
Debbie,
all right.
Debbie and her sister.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So she was with Sly when, you know, so
isn't
when I
that
heard
something?
She married Carlos, and I was like, "Oh, okay, Debbie, you got a plan. Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead."
Yeah, so she, anyway, it was just, the great thing to happen. And so Carlos came behind me, hugged me, "Hey, man, what you doing?" So we went downstairs to his studio, and he had some incense that I was like, "What is this incense?" You know, and he told me that, you know, he believed that was like prayers going up to God. I said, wow. And so we must have spent half the time we were going to play music just talking about that. But yeah, I found out he was a very spiritual person, and I was like, man, you know, I haven't met anybody in this business that's, you know, that sort of way. I mean, we kind of all would smoke a little dope and start talking about various things, and, you know, kind of out of the ethereal, you know, kind of stuff.
Right.
Not that somebody really was talking about prayers and God and the real deal. So anyway, we got to play, and he introduced, you know, the Black Magic Woman to me, and Oye Como Va, and You Gotta Change the Evil Ways. And I said, wow. And so he said, I said, "Why are you doing that?" He said, "Because you are going to be the next lead vocalist for the group." I said, "What?"
Okay.
I said, "I can't believe this." And so the hard thing about Chocolate, I had to go back to L.A. and tell my group that, you know, we're struggling trying to make things happen, you know, the Creation group. And when I told them all the story, they said, "Well, Leon, you got to go do this." You know, and he said, "We'll just carry on the best we can, and some of the other lead vocalists will, you know, come up front and hit it a little heavy, and then you go ahead and do this thing with Carlos, because we feel like this is almost like divine providence that you should be with him." And so I went back up to the Bay Area, and, you know, long story short, we did three albums together, and it was just phenomenal for me, because I had never experienced anything quite at that level before musically. And I really understood that Bill Graham was really the one that really made things happen. Of course, you knew Bill. But,
right.
You know, he really made things happen. I mean, from West Coast to East Coast to, you know, all the things that happened, Woodstock. I mean, he was behind all of that. So, you know, when I got introduced to Bill, that was a whole nother
level
that I had never experienced before. A manager that actually, you know, was able to take care of a group and put them up where they need to be, put, you know, the record companies, the right gigs, all that sort of thing. So we were booked all over. And then, you know, you knew Kezar Stadium. I don't know what they call it now, but back in the day, that was my first gig, was at Kezar. And, man, we had, I don't know, probably 100,000 people out there because they were all in the stands.
I think Grand Sister Station was on that gig.
They could have been. They could have been because there were a lot of, he had like a festival, like a three-day thing. And he
a
had
charity
Santana
type thing.
Yeah, it's like a charity thing, right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I might have seen you then. But
probably.
Yeah, but that was what happened, and so we got it kicked off, and I've never looked back. It's just been beautiful to see, you know, how your dreams can come true, and the things you pray about, and the things you feel God has placed in your heart to do, you know, they actually do come true. And
so that was a real positive experience.
It was a very positive experience.
Fantastic,
yes.
For you.
Yeah, plus with him being kind of a religious man, it got me thinking. And he was really the one, I think, that got my head kind of getting back into church again. It just seemed most natural to me to get back to those roots. And of course, I had a girlfriend at the time that had a brother that was a real church-going guy. So it seemed like every time I come to the house to see her, you know, here he comes with his message, you know. So I was like, man, look, I just joined the Santana group. I ain't got time. You know, I ain't got time for a real deep religious experience because I'm getting ready to terrorize the world. You know, so, you know, I ain't got time for this. Maybe when I get 80 or something, you know, just about to die, then we can roll. But he just kept convincing me.
Okay,
man.
That is hilarious. Okay,
yeah.
We're going to take this phone call, this 415 phone call, okay?
Okay,
that's
all right, good.
415-566, you there, caller?
Yes. Hello.
Hi. Who's
Hello.
Calling?
Hi, Patrice. This is Sheila.
Hi, Sheila.
How you doing,
Sheila?
From Washington High School.
Oh, my God, really?
Uh-huh, and it's hilarious because I know Patrice from Tamale, and I know Leon from Gina.
Wow.
Patrice, you know, you mentioned earlier, Gina used to sing with the VIPs, and I went to Washington High School, and Leon's group, he is being so humble in this interview because he was like it back in the day.
Was he it?
Well, I mean, his music, his group, the VIPs, they were everywhere back then before we got Avalon Ballroom and the Family Dog and Bill Graham and Fillmore and all that. There were all these dances that they used to have locally all over at all these halls and over the city. And even at the Beach Chalet and all these places that are still around. And Kezar is still called Kezar. But they did make it smaller somehow, the one you were talking about. But anyway, I had a question that you kind of already hit on.
Yeah.
Because I always felt like Leon kind of got robbed when Sly and them jumped off so big. And they did have such a similar sound. And going to high school with this person and hearing their group, and Gina was in the group, and it was, they were so good, and there was but there was so much music going on in the city at the time. A lot of it, like you said, was similar. They were starting to do the integration things in the music. It was always pretty well integrated in friendships and stuff here in San Francisco. Anyway, it was different than a lot of places. But I always wondered, did you think that your sound was copied, or like was it like you said earlier that you guys being around one another just kind of ended up sounding like one another?
I think because Sly was a little bit older and he was, you know, being a radio DJ, he had access to things that I didn't. And, you know, like I said, the manager, you know, record companies, that sort of thing. I don't know what it is about administrative things. Sometimes when you get involved with an administrative side of music, you can really get things going. If you're a good group or a bad group, you can hook up something and just make it happen just strictly because you got money behind you. You keep publicizing it and that sort of thing. But Sly was the real deal. I mean,
I'm like Patrice. I'm their, if she's their first biggest fan, I'm their second because I love them.
I'm the third.
I think we all would agree, but I always loved you guys' sound, and you hear the similarity. I'm like Patrice. When I heard that song again, I'm like, oh my gosh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This is Leon.
Yeah.
This is not Sly. And it's crazy making. And Patrice, the crazy thing is, I saw Leon a couple years ago. He came and sang at my church that I was going to here in the city. And so it's like we lived in Santa Cruz at the same time. It's just that, you know, every now and then you run into people. But I also wanted Leon to verify on the radio program that Danny Glover did indeed go to high school with us.
Yes, Danny Glover did. I talked to him 2 weeks ago. He's in Louisiana doing another movie. And actually, we had a release party last Saturday. And no, actually, it's been two Saturdays now ago. And I invited him to come. He said, I'm just wrapping up this movie, man, or else I would definitely be there. But, Danny Glover did go to high school with us.
He lived near you, right?
Yeah, I was on Central Street, Central and Hayes.
And he
Danny
was over that
like,
way, too.
Yeah,
and
he was like four doors down from me. And
all these people coming out of San Francisco back at that time. And there's other high schools that try to claim Danny. Washington, okay?
That's right.
I messed up last time when Tamale was on and didn't get the phone thing right, but when I saw Leon was going to be on there, I said, oh, this is going to be too good. And it's been a wonderful program.
I'm so glad you called.
Doing an interview.
Yeah, so, I'm so glad you called.
And it's beautiful. All right. Take care.
Okay, you be good. Okay.
All right.
Bye. Bye. Okay, Leon. So now, let me see. As you can see, it is. I don't know if you know it or not, but it is.
The time is coming.
Now let's talk about what you're doing right now.
Well, we after I left Santana, the girlfriend just really got me to thinking. The next thing I know, we're sitting out in his driveway one time. This is after 8 months of him just being on my case. So I sat out in front of his driveway. We just got to talking about it. He said, man, if you just can go back to like you were in childhood and just put Jesus back in that spot again, he said, you'll see how your life will change. So, that's what I did. I started going back to church, and the next thing I knew, my songs started to change, and the lyrics started to be more positive, more inspirational. And so I said, well, man, I don't even know who would even, take me in as on the record label, because this is really sounding very inspirational and not like the norm. So, but I remember back in the day, and you do too, Chocolate, that, you know, even with Sly's stuff and my stuff, it always had, and Earth, Wind, and Fire, it always had something that was, you didn't have to sing about love all the time. You could sing about positive things. You know, you can make it if you try. You know, you can handle it.
Right.
Yeah. Keep your head to the sky. You know, those sort of lyrics. And they became just as big a hit as anything. I mean, that Want to Take You Higher, my goodness. I mean, even Tina Turner took that and took it to a whole other place, you know, for now day. And so anyway, there's a positive way that you can present lyrics that also can be, you know, kind of neat. And I saw we were having like long story short, we with Santana, we went on a tour, and Earth, Wind, and Fire was on the plane. They were our opening act for what we did in Europe. Can you imagine Earth, Wind, and Fire and Santana on the same bill?
Okay.
I almost wanted to be on the front row of that one. But anyway, it was just a fabulous tour. And so I got a chance to talk with Philip Bailey and some of the other guys, Larry Dunn and Andrew Wilfolk, and just talked to them about what had just happened to me. And they said, man, I need to get back in the Bible and the church too. So next thing I know, they make a commitment, you know, a recommitment of their lives. And so we get back to L.A., let's light somebody else up. So we, Donna Summer and Stevie Wonder and all the people that we were hanging out with at the time, Smokey Robinson, Marilyn McCoo, Billy Davis Jr., all these people we were hanging with, we said, why don't we hold a concert at the Roxy, and we'll call it Jesus at the Roxy. And so we did that, and all these people I named came. Della Reese was there, Jim Brown. There were so many people in the audience. And after each performance, we would give an opportunity for people to, you know, get their life right, you know, get balanced, balance. And so next thing I know, you know, Smokey, all these people, Donna Summer, everybody said, yeah, let's do that. So we started having these Bible studies every Thursday, and, you know, we'd meet sometime at my house in Bel Air, then we'd go down to Smokey's house in the Valley, and then we go over to Philip Bailey's house, you know, in Beverly Hills. So we just kept running because Pavarotti was following us, and if they got wind of where we're going to be, they'd be there. Then we couldn't talk real stuff about our lives. So anyway, long story short, I just ended up spinning off into a whole nother region of music. And in those days, there was no really contemporary Christian music because Andre Crouch was out with the gospel side, but there was nothing that had kind of that popish kind of vibe. And so I just put an album together called Dance Children Dance. And next thing I know, man, it becomes like the new This Is the Beginning, you know, when we first came out with the Creation Group. And so that started to sweep the country, just kind of, again, underground in that way. And so that continued
and
on.
And you were on, was this on Word Records?
This is on Word Records, yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Word had, it's a pretty big label, had, you know, of course, more on the pop side, Amy Grant and Michael W. Smith and people like that. And so it just became a wonderful venue of music, a place that I could put music out that people could get an inspiration and a lift from. And so I kind of thought I was going to retire Chocolate a couple years ago. And so me and wifey moved to Vegas, and because we heard some good housing and buffet on every corner. I said, yep, that's the spot.
I heard that.
That's the place to retire. But I got here, and because mom and dad raised foster kids, we worked with a foster kid organization out of Sacramento called Koinonia for about 20 years, just kind of helping them.
Well, wait a minute. Let me say this, though, before you go there. You had your own television show on TBN called Leon and Friends. That's big. That's huge.
Yeah,
how long
did
that last?
That lasted from 90 to about 97. And, again, it's just these people that were in our Bible study, because I didn't really want to bother them on a commercial tip, you know, because we were having just a hard enough time dealing with our, what I would call our sins, you know. So it's just like we need to talk about that, pray about that, and try to get over some stuff and get through some marriages and some broke relationships. And we had all kinds of issues going. So, but I did ask them one time, because TBN came to me and approached me about doing something like that. And so I said, well, what kind of show would I – they asked me, what kind of show would I do if I – they offered me one. I said, well, I've got a lot of friends. And I said, maybe we'll just call it Leon and Friends. They said, great, what kind of people can you bring in? And they started naming the people I just told you about. And they said, you can get them on this station? I said, I don't know. I have to go back and ask. So at the next Bible study, I did go back and ask the ones that would like to come on and give their testimony. So Clifton Davis came on, and he was like one of the biggest hits because he was just coming off of Amen. And so everybody loved him. And then I had Smokey on and Marilyn McCoo and Denise Williams, and it was kind of like that. And, man, they just – every week we were up in the top 10 as far as our ratings. So it lasted, like I said, for 7 years until they decided to make a change. And so, anyway, and again, it was a very inspirational show. Everybody got a chance to talk about the things that happened in their lives and the struggles that they have and how they're getting over it, and, you know, how if it wasn't for the Lord, most of them said, you know, man, I don't know where I would be. And, you know, we all know that. I mean, most of us that are still alive, man, we know we'd be dead because, and like Sheila was just saying, you know, with the slide thing, man, I think if I had jumped off as big as him, I wouldn't be talking to you now because I was my habits were just as bad as anybody else's. And
but you
know
what?
I think
that was
God
all a part of
me.
It. Yeah,
it was
that was all
part
of
it.
Of
it.
It
was a
at
part
the
of
time,
it. Yes, it
was. That was a lifestyle. Everybody
yes,
was doing
it, was.
It. You know what
yes,
I'm saying?
Yes, it was. Yes, it
was.
It was
all part of it. And you're right.
Yep.
And those
yep.
are. And there are still some of us who are left standing, and you are one of
yep.
them.
Yep. Yeah.
So
well, thank God for that.
Thank God, and me
yeah.
too. So, what yeah. are you doing? What are you doing right now?
So now, at this moment, we got here to Vegas and found out this is the highest dropout rate in the whole country. So my heart started beating toward the kids again, and so that's what we're doing. I put out a citywide thing a year and a half ago that I was going to hold auditions kind of like The Voice or like Idol. And so we had so many people show up at this location, and they were all down the street. And we each one that came through, we just auditioned them, and I told the ones that would win that they would sing on an album with me. So we have just released a new CD, and it's funny enough, Chocolate, that the name of this album is That You Can Begin Again. So
right,
it's
right.
just like back to the this is the beginning, but
this is the beginning,
completely
right.
Yeah, it's another new beginning at this age in my life, which I'm just really thankful that God has given me some place to pour some of the years into these the kids now, and they can kind of take it. I'm just kind of giving them the baton and saying, okay, now y'all got to run. So we had six winners, and those six winners are actually singing on the CD with me. And if you heard a Chocolate, you would be blown away at these kids from 11 years old to 15. They all sound like they're 30-year-old singers. Their voices are just so mature. And so anyway, those six winners are actually on my CD, and I gave them all some solo parts, and a couple of them are singing a complete song and like that. So that's what we're doing now. We have a foundation here in Vegas called Sing, Sowing into Next Generation. And that's what we're
right.
doing with our lives now. So this will be what I'll do, you know, from now on. I'm still touring. I'm still out doing concerts, and we're talking about maybe doing a show here in town. That'll be a family-type show, maybe at the Circus or one of the places, Bellagio or something, whoever will have us in to do a daytime show for kids. But anyway, that's what we're discussing now with some of the powers that be in the city, about having something that you guys could bring your kids and grandkids to. So
well
see.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I want to do it. Call me.
Yeah.
You got my number, sure.
Okay.
I love it.
I know you
it,
got
Lord.
A grandkid
my
too by now.
That's
yeah.
right. Yeah, I got two. I have
all
two.
All right, see?
Yeah,
good.
So yeah, so you know, you have my number. Anything I can do, you know, just let me know, and I would love to do it. So do you have any shout-outs?
Yeah, you know, first I want to thank you for having me on the show today. This has just been a great opportunity for some of them cobwebs that's just been growing the clear way. And, you know, just like Sheila said, I don't even remember some of the things that happened back in the day, but I know that it must have had impact on some people, and I'm glad
right.
that the music has, and that's just another thing I'm thankful for is for all the ones that have gathered around me during all of the stages of my career to just give me love and give me hugs and encouragement to keep going. And again, I'm just so thankful that at this stage now I can kind of pass the baton to the next generation, feel good about that. I can go to sleep every night going, well, there's somebody that can carry this torch, you know, on into the next generation. So
thank you.
Do
you have any advice for those people, for those youngsters?
Well, you know, the number one thing, again, this is going to sound funny to you, but, you know, I kind of have a five-root tree that I want the kids to grab a hold of, and it's actually the first two letters are SF because I'm from San Francisco, but I really believe that
okay.
if you can keep your life together spiritually and financially, you know, that's been our biggest deal, man, for us artists.
Right.
That's been a big downfall for us. It's just not taking care of our money, taking care of finances and investments and all that sort of thing. We get that big money, and bam, we just go spend it. So if they can stay, you know, spiritually grounded, financially grounded, that's SF. And then the last three letters, which is a little funny, is PMS. Which it really doesn't stand for what you think it stands for, but it stands for physical, mental, and social. And I think if the kids can have try to get their bodies in kind of physical shape, because you got to do 2-hour shows, and you can't do that
right.
if you're not physically. I'm not talking about if you're big or fat or skinny or whatever. It doesn't matter what size you are, but just being healthy. And so physical,
right.
then the mental, because this business will wear you out, man. I mean, sometimes people will keep telling you no, 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 and you start believing less than you are. And there is no such thing, man. I mean, you just keep your mind, you know, geared on what God has told you to do. You just keep going forward. I mean, just for instance, you know, we think about the chicken guy. What's his name? Colonel Sanders. That guy got his business started at 65. He was 65
okay.
years old, Colonel Sanders. So, I mean, you know, you just never get up. He heard no so many times when he's bringing in his recipe for the chicken. But he just kept going, and finally somebody said yes. And you know, it's history.
Another thing is, I hate to interrupt you, but another thing is that if God puts a desire in your heart and gives you talents and gifts and puts desire in your heart, he will not mm-hmm. put a desire in your heart that he will not give you the tools to be able to accomplish.
Yes, 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 yes.
And that's the most important thing you have to understand.
That's it.
So whatever desire you have in your heart, whatever seeds are planted in your heart to do whatever your passion is leading you to, then just know that it can be done, because God would not give those gifts to you and not give you the tools to accomplish them.
Yes, that's good. That's good, Chakra. That's really a part of the infrastructure, because, you know, if he begins the work in you, he's going to complete it. That's I really believe
Absolutely.
In that one. And then the last
Absolutely.
One, the S stands for social. So physical, mental, social. The social part of a musician, they just have to have a different lifestyle than, you know, what we keep seeing on the front pages of these magazines. They really have to find a way to, you know, get away from that crowd, get away from the group that is trying to drag them down. Because sometimes you can have so many people hanging on you, and you're doing, you know, you got a show the next day. You can't be hanging out 2 and 3 and 4 in the morning if you got a
right.
show the next day, if you really want to have a healthy long life in this music. So those are kind of the 5 tools or roots that I give the kids here in the city. And we talk about music and, you know, which one has, you know, good lyrics, which would I call them dark lyrics, and then some that have light lyrics. And so a lot
mm-hmm.
of times they'll listen to songs and they can tell us what, you know, what they feel about the songs, and if something's inspirational or if something is tell them to go kill themselves, which we did have a song out just within this year that was like that, and I just told them those are not good songs for them and not good
right.
lyrics to write for themselves. But, you know, I said, you know, even, you know, all the single ladies, all the single ladies, all the single, ooh, 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 all the single, even that song, she's preaching. She said, if you found love, I don't forgot what the lyric is, but why didn't you put a ring on it? If you want to love it, put a ring on it.
Yeah,
so
you
she's really, in a sense, it's like a preaching, you know, but,
right.
but you know, again, if it's a fun song, ooh, 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 oh, the single
ladies.
It's about
the message.
It's about the message.
What you're saying. Right.
Yes, that's right. So that's what I'm teaching them, and not that I'm trying to be too hardcore or try to keep them isolated from anything. They know all of my stuff. I talk about real deal sex and, you know, everything, the drugs, everything that goes along with it. But I'm trying to give them the roots that I think would make them last as long as I have in this business. So anyway, so that's a shout out, Chocolate. Is just that, you know, we can find a way to achieve our goals. We just have to keep our hands in God's hand, and you know, he's the master of it all anyway. And I think the whole planet is starting to kind of lean that direction. I mean, I have never seen, well, back in the day we had Ten Commandments, but they got the Son of God is out now. It's like, what? The Son of God in the theater? And then here
okay.
comes Noah, and then Noah's coming. It's like, what? Noah? You know, who's doing? Then they got another one about heaven. You know, heaven is for real.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming out of April.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what? So I think
okay.
that there is a little bit of, you know, a light shining on this globe, just to say, you know, there is hope. There is you do have the ability to look up, and I think that's why I wrote this album, You Can Begin Again, because there's a lot of folks that fall in the crack and just feel like they can't get up. And, man, you can get up. You know, you can get up there.
Absolutely, and you are doing such good work working with the youth, because that's where it starts. It starts with the youth. I mean, you know, they can't learn if you don't teach them. Somebody has to be there to teach them. So there's so many of them that don't have a place to turn. So if they have a place to turn and to go to and learn about morals and about spirituality and about God and about good and bad, then you know, then we're doing what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Now, so where can we go to find out about what's happening, all your information on the websites and the blah, blah, this and that?
Yes.
Where
well,
do
you
go?
Know, the kids, they can't pronounce Patillo. So I keep telling them Leon Patillo. So I said, just call me Mr. Leon. So that's become the big deal now. So that's what the kids call me. They all call me Mr. Leon. So I've created a website now, MrLeon.org. And it does, that probably makes it easy for most people. But everything pops up, all the CDs, the things from the past, bio, all the things that we're doing now. You just go to MrLeon.org and it'll pop up. I think there's maybe one bartender, a beautician ahead of me. That's a Mr. Leon. But you keep looking down, you get past Jerry Curl, and then you see me.
I
still got Jerry Curl. So,
now, we, you have given me several songs. So our time is short, but I want to play the one that you want me to play on the way out. So, and let me just say this, too, before we go. Until You Were Gone on Leon's Creation, that song Until You Were Gone, that girl was singing. That was one of my favorite songs. So if you guys get a chance, go on YouTube and listen to Until You Were Gone.
Yeah,
Leon
with Carol Stallings. Yeah, she was playing.
Oh, my God, Carol.
She was our violinist in the group, and her brother
and
was playing guitar.
And that girl could sing.
Yeah, she could sing, man. Yeah.
Okay, so now I got You Can Begin Again, Sky's the Limit. Strong and a Winner. That's I have to say, that's one of my favorites.
Really?
Prayer. And I Love You With My Heart. So which one do you want? We're going to play all of them, but which one do you want to hear on the way out?
I think because of what we just talked about, I would say that You Can Begin Again would be the one to play.
Which is also
because,
the title of your CD, isn't it?
Yes, the title of the CD. And I think, again, this song would just jump up and give you a hug. And, you know, it just gives encouragement. And that's the main reason for... I think for God putting me in this music is just to encourage and bring hope. So, but I do believe, along with you, the Stronger the Winner is because I wrote that for women,
Woo!
For strong women, you know, for women
I think
that just.
That's that one got to me.
Yeah,
okay,
I gave that to Oprah. When I first wrote it, I gave it to her because I told her she and Stedman just happened to be coming to a restaurant we were coming into. So I got the CD and I said, here, you know, this is for you. I believe you are strong and a winner. I gave that to Oprah. So anyway, you may refer to it at some point. Yeah.
If I had something, I would have given it to Oprah, too.
That's right. Here's a copy of the show.
So we're going to play You Can Begin Again, but before we do that, I just want to say thank you again for joining us, and I want to say that for all things chocolate, you can go to PatriceChocolateBanks.com. I want to thank my family. I want to thank Team Chocolate, all the Funkalutionaries, the Facebook Nation. I want to God bless all of y'all's hearts. And remember that everybody is a star, but your shine is just different from mine. May the funk continue to be with all of you at all times. And, Leon, I just can't even – I'm not going to thank you one more time. I'm sure you're tired of me thanking you.
Thank you,
it was so wonderful of you to do the show for me, and I hope that my point got across tonight – because I love to teach, and I'm sure a lot of people learned a lot of stuff tonight.
Yes.
And so we're going to go out on You Can Begin Again. Okay? And
thank you,
Leon. And thank Renee for me, too.
I will. God bless you.
All right. God bless you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
a new space to start again. We're your friends and family can grow closer to thee. It's not the final place, just to remind of his grace. And to those who lost their way, you can.
You can't be dead. Reach beyond the stars.
so glad you're in my life. The difference is clear. You never stop, no, you never give up. And that's why I'm standing, standing here. I love you with my heart. I love you with my life. I love you for so many things. For your
get your phone.